You're listening to a message from Gateway Fellowship. Be sure to check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.
Grab your Bibles, and we're going to go to three particular passages today. So Matthew 28, turn there, stick your finger there, and then Luke chapter 15 will be there in a little while, and then 1 Peter chapter 2. So walk you through those, and they're also going to be coming up on the screen, so get ready to go. Matthew 28 will be our first stop. You have your Bible app. You know, go to YouVersion or whatever Bible app you use. Many of you are using YouVersion Live and announce it regularly. And if you are, all my teaching notes are on there and you can follow through that way. If you're here and you don't have a Bible, this church provides free Bibles. And so if you've been here more than one Sunday, you know that. I talk about it a lot. And grab a Bible. They're free. You don't have to fill anything out. You don't have to ask anybody. They're in the lobby. Just grab one as you go. It's the same Bible I teach from here. Well, we're continuing our series called Living the Jesus-Centered Mission. And we launched it last week. We're really talking about what's the role of the church. What is it that Jesus has called us to do? The church, by the way, that's you and that's me. And I often refer to the church as our faith community, the thing that draws us together. We're a community of believers, or we're a faith community. What is it that we as a faith community, we as a church, we as a follower of Jesus, what is it that we're called to do? That's what we're talking about over the next number of weeks, living the Jesus-centered mission. What's our role in this community? Because if you're a follower of Jesus, you have a role. I have a role in this community, in our region, and in this world. And what is it that Jesus calls us to? You're here, and you're connected to a community of faith, to the church. And someone said, and rightly so, regarding the church or this faith community, a local church family identifies you as a genuine believer and moves you out of self-centered isolation. Now, just ponder that for a moment. I think that's a great statement. You see, being connected to a church or to a faith community identifies you as a genuine believer because Jesus calls us to be connected. Another way to say it is this: you can't be connected to the head, Jesus, without being connected to the body. And so once we realize that, what is it that Jesus calls you and what is it that he calls me individually and then collectively as a church? What does he say to us in terms of moving out into our community, our region, and in our world? How do we carry out and live the mission of Jesus? No matter how long you've been a part of this faith community, let me say it this way. Some of you trusted Jesus a lot of years ago. For some of you, maybe it's even as much as 50 or more years ago, 40, 30, 20. For some of you, it's just recently. Maybe last week. Maybe during that prayer that we just had, that was the first time you trusted Jesus. Can I say this to you? You're as much a member of this faith community as a person who trusted Jesus 50 years ago. Are you with me? You don't have to earn your way into the faith community. No matter how young, no matter how old you are, when you trusted Jesus, you became a part of his body. You became a part of the community of believers. And he says something to you and to me. And he talks about what it is that we're to do as believers individually and then collectively. And let's remember that wherever we go, we're the church. Wherever we go, we're part of the body of Christ. So when you go to work tomorrow, guess what? You're the body of Christ or the church. When you head to your office or students, when you head to your classroom, you are the church. I don't care if it's homeschool or public school or private school, wherever you are, you're the church. You're part of the body of Christ, and we're to live out the mission of Jesus. When you're in the restaurant and you don't receive the level of service you think you should have received, that was true with Jen and me this past week, and your blood pressure begins to rise, and your frustration level begins to rise, remember this, you are the church. You're representing Jesus in that moment. And I thought about that this past week. When you're on the telephone, and you're talking to customer support, customer service, and your blood pressure is rising because you can't get through and you can't get the answers you want, guess what? In that moment, you are the church, you're the body of Christ, and you're called, and I'm called, to live the Jesus-centered mission. Wherever we are, if we place our faith in him, We're the church, we're his body, and we're called to live for him. What's that look like, and what does Jesus say to us? Well, got your Bibles, Matthew chapter 28. Let's start our journey there. Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse number 18. Going to read verses 18 and 19, also coming up on the screen if you'd like. So Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority. Let me just stop there for a second. If you want to, circle authority and draw an arrow to the column and put power. Okay, that's what it means. Jesus came, I've been given all power or authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I kind of want to take that passage apart for us for just a few moments. There's a command there, and it's this, make disciples. Now, someone thought, yeah, the command is go. No, the command is to make disciples. How do we do that? We do that by going, by moving ahead. As you go, make disciples. Now, that word go sometimes is associated with an event. So you go. So if you've been involved in any kind of a race, and I'm not just talking about running or cycling or anything like that. If you've done three-legged things, right, as a student, or you've done anything like that, and you line up at the start line, and someone hollers what? Go. All right. Always associated with go is what? Stop, or you're done. You drive up to a stoplight that is red, yellow, green. Let's stop and think about that one for a second. Red, yellow, green, and red means stop. Green means yellow means speed up, right? No. Speed up just a little faster before it turns red. No. Yeah. So we got, don't you dare, especially if you're driving a church van. All right. So there's red, stop, green, go. Sometimes we associate go with an event. In other words, you go and you stop. That's far from what Jesus is saying to us. In fact, the Greek verb there for go is actually going. As you are going, make disciples. Now, some of you have a version of the Bible that says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go ye. It actually means as you are going. So here's what Jesus said. While you are going, make disciples of all nations. While you're living your life out, while you're going through life, from the moment you place your faith in Jesus, make disciples. Be a part of his mission that he has called each one of us to. It's the going. It's all the time. There is no start and there is no stop. So if you're a believer in Jesus, if you place your faith and you trust in him, he has called us as we go through life, as we're going to make disciples, to live for him. By the way, do you know where that starts? Starts right at home. Starts right here, and it starts right at home. It starts in your home and my home. It starts in our community, and then goes out to our region and to our world. As you live out your life, as you live this Jesus-centered mission, as you are going, make disciples. Now, when my two sons were growing up, and they're out of the home now, when they were growing up, and I would give them, you know, what probably was a command, right? To do something. Come on, parents, and you do the same thing. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to do this. Very often, they would say this, I will. Now, I had a response to that, and it was this, and you can steal it if you want. Not I will, I am. There's a difference. Told them to do something. I will do that, Dad. No, 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 no. Not I will, I am. There's a difference. I had someone come up to me afterwards, a good friend of mine, and he said, thanks, Tom. Because now my wife is using that statement. Not I will, I am. I've been saying, I will do that. I'll get that done. I will. No, 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 no. I am. Well, see, as a follower of Jesus, it's not, you know, I will live out the mission of Jesus. Uh-uh. It's I am. Because it's who we are. It's not I will Jesus tomorrow. No, it's I am. He has called us to live out his mission in everything that we do. So let me ask you a question today. What's this going look like in your life? What's it look like in your life? For some of you, it looks like going to work every day. You know, into a secular work world. That's the going. But as you are going, you're living out the Jesus-centered mission. For some of you, you know, your formal work days ended, perhaps. So what's it look like in your day, whatever that looks like? Some of you are students and you're in school. So what's it look like as you go to school? What's it look like, no matter what age you are, follower of Jesus, what's the going look like in your life? Business owners, business people, what's it look like in your businesses? Employers, employees, what's it look like for each one? When I was just pondering and think about for a moment. Now, I came up with this kind of cheesy little phrase that was either running or driving. I don't know which one it was, but I thought of it this way. It's cheesy. I'm just going to tell you, and when I give it to you, you can go, that's really cheesy. But I think that you remember it. Here it is right there. You can't go unless you know, but if you know, you must go. Okay, you can say it's cheesy, okay? But I bet you remember it. Here it is. You can't go unless you know, but if you know, you must be a part of going. You can't show someone the way unless you've experienced it. But if you've experienced it, then you can. Very often I'll say this. I don't understand the depth of Jesus' love. I really don't. I don't think our finite minds can really grasp that and understand that fully. But I've experienced it. If you're a follower of Jesus, you've experienced it. And what we've experienced, we can show. What we know, how our life was changed, and the hope that we now have, we can show it because we've experienced it. You can't go unless you know, but if you're a follower of Jesus, if you know, if you've experienced it, then we must go. That's what Jesus is talking about. Have you ever experienced being lost or needing directions in life? And then you've called someone for help. Now, some of you are computer geeks, wizards, you know, and you're PC users or Mac users. Makes no difference if you got that toy over here or you have a Mac. I'm kidding. I got both. Okay, so I got a foot in both worlds. But some of you help other people with their computer problems. Here's what you do. Think about it. You don't even need to look at your computer. Here's what you do. And I've done it with some of my family. Look, just go to that little globe at the bottom, click on it, menu comes up, go over here, click there, and you don't even have to look, do you? You know why? Because you've done it so many times, you just know. You can show someone the way. You've done it that many times. It's etched in your mind. Many of us, we could go home today. I'm not suggesting that you try it, but you could go home today, shut off all the lights, put a blindfold on, and walk through your house without even, you know, running into anything. Lots of us could do that. Perhaps not all of us. Most of us could. Now, assuming that no one changes the furniture on us, because we've been there so many times, we know the way. Have you ever sought direction for somebody? Now, I have readily admitted to you, if you've been part of Gateway for very long, that I'm this lousy at directions. I get two blocks away from my home, I get lost. Okay, so I'm always looking for directions. And a good friend of mine, some of you knew Mark Pearson, who was lead pastor here for a number of years. I think he began to chuckle at times because here's what would happen. Particularly Port Orchard. Anyone here from Port Orchard? Where are you? Okay, right over here. Yeah, I love your city. I do. But I get lost there. I get lost there. And so I would have to go over there for church matters and business and so on like that. And I'd get to Port Orchard, and I can just tell you what happened. I know that Mark would be sitting in his office like this, waiting by his phone. Because he knew that, let's see, right about now, he's going to be calling. Mark, I need help. I'm lost. Okay, where are you? Well, I don't know. First of all, if I knew where I was, I wouldn't be calling you. Number two, I'm looking at a building that's got, you know, big red this or red that and says this. Okay, great. You're in the wrong place. So, you know, here's where you go. And from his memory, could just kind of tell me where to go. You see, that's giving. Why? Because he'd been there so many times, done it so many times, that now he could show me the way. That's what we're talking about. You see, if you've experienced Jesus, you know what it is. to be this, and now you're this. And now you can show someone the way. That's what we're talking about. You see, sometimes we make living the Jesus-centered life kind of difficult. Like, you got to know all this, and you got to know all that, and you got to memorize this, and you got to memorize that. You know what all you need to do? Live your life for Him. You've experienced Him. Just live your life for Him. One young student described it this way: if God is so big and He lives in my heart, why doesn't some of Him show through? That's a good statement. The fact is, He does. He shows through us in the way that we live. Living the Jesus-centered mission is all about showing people the way. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. If you were with us last week, I introduced this passage. I want to talk a little bit more about it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And then I'm going to drop down to verse number 10 as well. Here it is. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. Everybody say chosen. You're a royal priest, a holy nation, and I love this next part, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for He called you out of the darkness into His wonderful light. Here's what the word says. You're a chosen people. You're now this. You're royal priests. You're God's very own possession. And as a result, what can you do? You can now show. Circle that word show in your Bible if you're someone who doesn't mind writing in your Bible. Circle that word show, and you can draw a line to the column, and you can put announce or proclaim. Because you kind of get that feeling that you could stand and you could on any corner and say, this is the way to go. You can show. You can proclaim. The way that we do it is living it through our life. Now, listen to verse number 10. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. Here's the picture. We were living in darkness, in a very dark place. Now we live in the light. Once there was absolutely no chance that we could ever show anybody the way, but now that we've experienced the light, now we can. The light that comes through His Son, Jesus Christ. You're a chosen people. Now, that used to apply to the nation Israel. Now it applies to you and to me. The responsibility that was once solely trusted to the nation of Israel has now, during this age, been transferred to you and to me, to the church. The church is you and me. It's this community of believers, this faith believers. It's been entrusted to us. It's like living in this dark place, not even able to take a step because we're blindfolded. Now we see the light, and now we can show people the way. As parents, we've done that, haven't we? We've said to our students, if you're a parent, don't do this. I've done that. And very often we summarize it like this: been there, done that. And we're saying, I've experienced that, so don't go there. But the opposite is also true. I've experienced this. This is the right way to go. I've been there. I've done that. So go this way. I'm an admitted apaholic. Do you know what that is? Yeah. I have my iPad. I have my iPhone. And I'm an admitted apaholic. And the staff will tell you that. He's really, really bad. And so I have an accountability now. She's called Jen, my wife. And so now I ask, is it okay, unless it's free, is it okay if I buy this app? And I'm on a budget now and all that kind of stuff, you know. So, but here's the deal. I came across this app for my iPad that's called Show Me. Show Me. I love, you know what it does? Shows you stuff. And so students actually are using it in school. Teachers are using it. Parents are using it. And what you do is, let's just say you have a math problem. 1 + 1 = 2. Okay. So you're going to show your student how that works. And so you just record as you write and so on. And teachers are using Show Me to show the students the way to do something. That's what we're talking about. We're called to show, to live out this life that Jesus has now given us so that others can find the way. Now, how do we purpose to live out the mission here at Gateway? So if this is your first Sunday here, this is the first time you're going to read this. We just rolled it out last week. Our mission statement, our vision statement, it's how we carry out this mission of Jesus coming up on the screen. The Jesus-centered mission of Gateway Fellowship is to be a gateway for all generations to experience life-giving hope and care that positively influences our community, our region, and our world. There you go. The Jesus-centered mission of Gateway Fellowship is to be what? A gateway to all generations to experience life-giving hope and care, which, by the way, only comes through knowing Jesus, that positively influences our community as we are going, our community, our region, and our world. We purpose to live out the Jesus-centered mission. And in this series, we're kind of breaking down that vision statement so you know exactly what we're all about. Now, we live out the Jesus-centered mission by understanding why Jesus came and the mission he has called us to. Why did he come? Just let me just toss three things your way really, really quick. Why did Jesus come? Number one, to destroy the work of the evil one, the devil. Listen to 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. And in my column here, I wrote, Yahoo! That's good news, because we needed saving. Talk a little bit about that in just a minute. We were in this lost state, but Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. That's why he came. Are you thankful for that? I am, and I know you are. Number two, Jesus came to show us the way back to the Father. John 14:6, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way. He came to show us the way. Number three, Jesus came to give us life. That's why Jesus came. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, you were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave us all of our sins. It's okay to say, I was dead, now I'm alive. Because that's what Jesus did for you and for me. We were in the dark, now we're in the light. We were dead, and now we're alive. That's why he came. That's what his work on the cross did for you and for me. And until we receive this new life, this hope in Jesus that only he can offer, we were lost. Everybody say lost. That's where we were. We were born into lostness. Luke chapter 15, go there. Jesus shares three stories with us. It's really the only time in Scripture where there are three back-to-back stories. And Jesus describes the state that we were in. Now, it's almost like, I'm going to tell you a story. Okay, you didn't get it. I'm going to tell you another story. Okay, that's twice, you didn't get it. Let me tell you a third story. That's kind of the sense that you get. There are three stories. They're called kind of lost parables, and Jesus, you know, taught in stories a lot. But Luke chapter 15, the entire chapter, is all about these something that was lost. In the first opening verses, the lost sheep. And to that end, won't he leave the 99? Others in the wilderness and go search for the one that is lost until he finds it. Jesus told him the story. If he has 100 sheep and one's lost, here's what he'll do. There's a parable of the lost coin. Or suppose, he says, now let me tell it this way. A woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she'll call in her friends and neighbors and say, rejoice for me because the lost was found. And then Jesus says, okay, now let me tell you another story. It's about a son. And if you're a Bible reader, or you've heard this story, you know it's the parable of, you know, the lost son, the prodigal son. And he gathers up all that he thinks he deserves, knows, and he heads out, and he's a lost son. But I love this part of this story. In verse number 20, he says, when he was returning home after he came to his senses, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. There are three features to these lost stories I just want to draw your attention to for just a moment. Number one, something was lost. The sheep, the coin, and the son. Something was lost. Number two, there was action associated with what was lost. Somebody searched. Somebody was waiting. And number three, when the lost was found, there was a party. You see, it'd be really easy to read Luke 15 and go, you know, that's a story about a coin, a story about a sheep, and it's a story about a son. It is all those things. But you know what else it is? It's my story. And if you're a follower of Jesus, it's your story. Because you were lost, and I was lost, and someone, Jesus, searched for you and for me. The Bible says in Luke that Jesus came to do what? To seek and to save. And what was lost was now found. If you follow me on Facebook, you should put that on this morning, that's what we're talking about today. The lost has been found. If you are a follower of Jesus, the lost has been found. And there was a party in heaven. The angels rejoiced when in that moment you place your faith and you place your trust in Him. That's what Gateway Fellowship is all about, to share that message of good news. That's the why behind the what. That's why we did what we did last night, so that we can reach into our community with this good news, because there are lost people. That's why Operation Day of Hope, that's why Alpha Groups, they're the what. But the why is so that we can share this good news, so that individually we can live out this mission that Jesus has called us to. And as a faith community, together we can join together and live out this mission as a community of believers and make an impact in our community and in our region and in our world. Let me tell you a story. Now, this past week, you know, we all have highlights during the week. And let me just share with you just one of my highlights this past week. I was visiting our Cross Point campus, and there are parents here from Cross Point. I see Nick, our principal, over here. And I was visiting our Cross Point campus, and when I got back, I just tossed it up on Facebook and said I just love being there and so proud and in the right way and thankful for our teachers and our staff and everyone who's that part. And following that, I had a grandparent post something on that status and said this, that my grandson is going to school there now, and on the very first day of school, he received Jesus as his Savior. Isn't that terrific? She went on to say that, you know, I think he'd done it before, but again, he proclaimed his faith in Jesus. And I want to just say that's what it's all about. It's not about expanding the footprint of Gateway. It's not about just being a bigger organization. It's not about giving people jobs. It's all about living out the Jesus-centered mission. And in that moment, and in that day, a student's life was changed. I pray that the awesomeness of that never escapes one of us. That on that day this past week, and it happened time and time again, there was a party in heaven because someone placed their faith in Him. Someone lived the Jesus-centered mission and was able to show the way. I just want to ask you a question today. Are you living that in your going? You might be here and the enemy has absolutely tricked you, and he has, in saying, look, you've done so much wrong. You can't do that. Jesus can't use that. That's a lie. That's a lie. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you place your trust in Him, you live out the Jesus-centered mission, God will use you. You've experienced something. You were lost, and now you're found. I'm going to invite you in just a moment to stand and pray with me. If you are here, I know we've already prayed. Maybe during this moment, this time, you say, look, I want to do that. Let me just say it this way. It's not anything that we do. It's just saying, Jesus, just live through me. And I know some of you are in some really tough spots. You're out in the workforce. You know, I had the privilege of working here. And I don't face the struggles that many of you do. And I'll just tell you that as a pastor, my heart breaks for you. And some of you are in families, and some of you are in situations and circumstances that are really, really tough, and I know that. But here's what I also know. As we commit ourselves to live out His mission, Jesus gives us everything that we need. He gives us the strength. He gives us the resources. He'll speak through us. There are times when we don't speak because He's led us that way. There are times when we do because He's led us that way. All I know is when we commit ourselves to live the Jesus-centered mission, He will use us to show someone the way. Would you stand with me right now? I'm just going to invite you as I pray to commit your going to Him. Whatever that looks like in your life, whatever going looks like, your business tomorrow, your workplace, your home, your family, your school, whatever your going looks like, in this moment as we pray, say, Jesus, I want to commit that to you. I want to show people the way through how I live, through living the Jesus-centered mission. And if you are here today, and again, you've not placed your faith in Jesus, you can do it right now as I pray. Father, I thank you for the privilege that we have. I thank you for what you have called us into. Called us into the light. And there was a day in our life when we were counted amongst the lost. That's who we were. We were living in the darkness, but when we cried out to you, we stepped into the light. God, I thank you for that. I pray that the awesomeness of that never, never leaves us. God, you would impact us again with the privilege we have as individuals and as a faith community to live the Jesus-centered mission, to show others the way. God, may we grasp a hold of the privilege and the opportunity of that, I pray. Challenge us this morning as we open up our heart to you with our going. God, I pray for many who are going into pretty hostile workplaces. God, that you will strengthen them and empower them and remind them tomorrow that they don't go alone. I pray for those who are going into some hostile home environments or schools or different settings and workplaces as employers and as employees. As we commit our going to you, God, may the light shine bright in us and through us, I pray. May others be shown the way through our life. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Now, if you're here and you've struggled at all, maybe you're one of those who go, you know, I got to do, and I feel like Jesus is not even a part of my life. And you have questions? Couple things. We hang out in the lobby afterwards. Please connect. Or if you prayed that prayer at any time during this gathering, let us know. We want to help you take that next step. We want to help you to do that. We're all about doing life together. We're on this journey together. So connect with us, please. Number two, if you have questions about faith, it's okay to have questions. That's why Alpha is part of our featured groups this time. And there's a kiosk in the lobby. And you know that 50% of those who come to Alpha, the stats are, come to faith in Jesus. So help us get the word out. If you're one of those who has questions, you have questions about Jesus, about anything, then Alpha's for you. And I just invite you to stop by the kiosk in the back, pick up one of the flyers, and become a part of that group. Now, next week, we're going to talk about Jesus, of course. And, you know, he hung out with some pretty shady people. And he hung out with some people that just might make some of us feel a little bit uncomfortable. But what are we called to do? We're talking about next week. We're a gateway for people. That's next Sunday, okay? So hope to see you then. God bless you. Just have like an awesome, terrible, great week. See ya.
To find out more about Gateway Fellowship or our terms of use, check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.